done.
Welcome. Thank you. Melanie and Jeff Raskin. It's so great to have you here. And, you know, I was thinking there's probably a lot of folks out here in the community that know you guys from the Carborough Farmers Market because you're huge volunteers there. I think you've probably been at every strawberry and tomato event for as long as I've been going there.
We love it.
Yeah. And I had no idea that there was this other side of you guys. This professional side.
What? We work? Hey, when we're selling t-shirts, I always say we are not professional t-shirt salespeople. So when you buy a t-shirt, you're supporting the farmers market. So yes, there's the secret side to us.
Yes, there is. And that is that you guys have been, well, you're a writer, Melanie, and Jeff has worked in film, and you've worked in film also, right?
I'm a writer, producer, director of television since 1983.
Yeah, I'd say you were. Yeah. You've been there and done that.
Yep. Where were you?
Expound.
Oh, expound. Well, I started working. Jeff got on at Hardee's. Hardee's home office in Rocky Mount, and they brought me on as the actress, because I'm also a voiceover and on-camera actress, brought me on as an actress and voiceover talent, and I started writing scripts then. I've always been in radio since 1977, worked my way through school at Carolina working in radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, writing copy and doing voiceover back home in Eastern North Carolina. So just started in television way back then, had a business in Rocky Mount, had a fabulous mentor who introduced me to print media. Oh. So I've been doing PR and media relations and print media and television since back in the mid-80s.
And all of it in North Carolina?
Yes.
Wow,
yes,
that's
I'm
amazing.
From here.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's a good business and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We were here at that time when there was just lots going on and in a great way for us to just slide on in.
Right. And what about you, Jeff? What's your specialty?
I'm a video editor, so that's primarily what I do. And my clients are corporate, some broadcast.
You had a long list in your resume. Name off, like, you know, the Discovery Channel. Name off some of your many clients.
The top 25.
Okay. we have less than 15 minutes. Yes, I've some of my work has appeared on Discovery Channel, on Animal Planet, on The Learning Channel, on PBS.
Anybody that'll write you a check, you'll do their editing, right?
Maybe not.
That's kind of what it comes down to.
Those who don't write checks, because we do a lot of volunteer work, too.
We do that as well.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So, Melanie, now, did you tell me that at one time you did voiceovers for a cartoon character or something?
You know, I always get cast as an animal. I don't know why, but I was the voice of the frightened kitten in the Sesame Street cartoon. The kitten was afraid of its shadow, so so I did that, and then I was cast as a retiring vice president, Burroughs Welcome, as his dog, who was narrating his retirement at the big party that they threw. So I was his golden retriever narrating his departure from Burroughs Welcome, you know, his big retirement. And then I played a chicken in the Brugger's Bagels egg sandwich commercials way back when. And I was so good at clucking that I got to cluck on all the commercials. I not only did mine, but I did the clucking for all of them.
Wow.
You did the cluck dub.
Yes, because it was about how they were adding eggs to their bagel sandwiches.
Yeah, okay.
They brought her in for a cluck over.
Right.
Give us a little cluck.
Oh, they're so hot to lay these eggs.
I know you.
I love doing that.
I bet that's a lot of fun.
It is fun. I love doing voiceover. I love it. It's for me, it's really easy. I have what's called a natural read, so I can go in cold and read it and put all the punctuation in the right place. And I also let the words work, so I can read a word like avoid or for example, or just certain words, you just read them and they have a sound and an emotion all their own. And so I can sort of pinpoint that pretty fast. It's been fun.
Is that
That's a natural
nice
talent?
Yes.
To have.
Yeah. I've been doing it all my life.
How did you learn that you had that talent?
I've been a writer since I was five.
Oh.
but I couldn't write because I didn't know how. I hadn't learned how to write yet. So I used to tell stories on the front porch, and I was the ghost storyteller. So everybody would sit around, and I'd tell stories. So I think it came from that, just being a storyteller.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's so fun.
Speaking of writing, in your bio, I read that you started a writer's group.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, because you're still doing that now,
oh,
right?
Yeah, since 1985, so don't tell me. No. It's almost 30 years.
It's a while.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're the longest lived in the country. There was a guy we read an article about, and his was 27 years, and ours was a little bit longer. But yeah, we started it in 1985. I had heard an NPR report that said that it took about the same amount of time to become a published writer as it did to become a doctor. 9 years.
Really?
Of working on it. You know, I mean, a doctor going through med school.
Right.
And so I thought, and I'd always written since I was five. And so,
you're already there.
Oh, well, yeah, I had put in the work, but I hadn't published except for high school and things like that. So Janet Hurley, who used to be in, I don't know if she's still in this market, we started a writer's group together. And she moved about a year later, and it's been going ever since. I mean, it's awesome.
And what's the name?
Triangle Writers Group. We've had about, I guess we figure 200 people come through over the last almost 30 years. Well, we try to keep it at 10. And folks move, but we've had most of the folks have been there 15 to 20 years. And then we have some new folks, but it's wonderful. Fiction now.
Did you used to meet at the old, no.
In people's homes always.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Part of our mission statement is that we are not necessarily fat-free. We're compassionate, but we're not necessarily fat-free. So we meet in people's homes so we can eat.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So now tell me about that. You just recently got a recognition for one of your...
Yes, so excited. I won the NC State Fiction Contest, a short story which actually started as an exercise. The exercise was one sentence in my writer's group, and it was, "Last night I blank, and now nobody's talking to me." And so what I wrote was, "Last night I forgot my multiplication table, and now nobody's talking to me." And it's a story... the story is called Now You See Her, Now You Don't, and it's a story about a woman who's having memory loss and what that's all about. And it was written for my best friend who actually had Lyme disease for about 15 years, and it was a misdiagnosis. She knew it right at the beginning, and they just didn't test. Back then, they didn't do that. And so when she, of course, had all the arthritic symptoms, but when she started forgetting her multiplication table, and when she would drive up to the dry cleaners and she'd say, "I came for my blouse," and they'd say, "But it's in the back seat of your car hanging." That's when she thought something's got to happen. And of course, she's perfectly fine, has been cured, but that's what prompted the story, and it won the contest. And then
that's so cool.
Pretty much in the same month, a publication called Minerva Rising published a story that I love called In and Out, and it's about a woman who is haunted by the ghost of her baby who died of SIDS. And it's a good haunting, though, just a haunting that helps her get through. Mm-hmm. So, interesting.
Wow. Yeah. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days. What are you working on?
Let's see. We have permission to talk about one of the projects. A lot of the things that we do are proprietary.
Top secret.
We really can't talk about them. But
so you're a part-time CIA agent as well.
There's a funny story there, actually. There used to be a... and I'll make this brief.
You can just tell us. Nobody else.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We'll just keep it between us.
I'll try to keep the dead bodies in the closet. But there was a facility that did government work in the Research Triangle area, and I was hired to edit something for them. And I didn't have the security clearance necessary to do the work. You know, that's what prompted the story. And so the person who had hired me didn't really know that much about video. He was just a manager there. And he said, "Well, what we can do is we can cut the monitors off and you can edit, and that way there won't be any security issues." And I said, "Well, with the monitors off, I won't be able to see what I'm doing."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, why is that a problem?" You know,
details, right.
"Okay, if you want to pay me for editing without being able to see what I'm doing, I'm happy to take your money. But you know,
don't put my name on it."
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, getting back to your question, the project that we're working on right now is for a client that we've done some past work for, the state of North Carolina. And we're working on a training piece for primarily police officers, but first responders in general, concerning the issue of human trafficking. Basically, how to.
Great. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, this is all smiles and fun stuff, you know.
Right. Oh, gosh. Oh. That's some heavy stuff right there.
Well, it's on how to investigate and identify it.
Right. Exactly. Walking into a situation and trying to assess what it is that you're seeing. You know, there are clues, there are ways that they can pick up on body language and, you know, figure out what's going on. So that's basically what this training piece will be for. Yeah.
Mm. So it's a dramatic 30-minute piece with vignettes. We have teen prostitutes because 1 in 3 kids are pimped. Runaway kids are pimped within 48 hours of running away. And 90% of them are running away from sexual abuse or domestic violence.
The same thing they're running into.
Right. And so these traffickers are really smart, and they just winnow out the you know, the wounded birds, the kids who really just need anybody. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's what they know. And so they just kind of suck them in. So it's an important show. And but it's very creative and dramatic, and we had a great time shooting. I wrote and wrote, and then we have a fabulous producer-director who came on, a team that we worked with, I guess 10 years ago, 2000. The first show was on domestic violence. I was on that for about a year and a half. I was
the
writer.
We get all the fun stuff.
Yeah, he edited. Yeah. Then it was rape. That was sexual assault and rape. That was the real face of rape. That was a year. Mm. And now we're on human trafficking. So,
boy, that's some heavy stuff.
It
does
is.
Does it keep you up at night? Or, I mean...
We're great at parties, you know.
Are you doing? Well, let me tell you about this. No.
But when Melanie was researching the domestic violence piece, she was definitely having some sleep issues because the things she was having to, I think you spent 6 months researching
A year and a half. A year and a half on that show.
Okay, I missed
it. Wow.
I only missed it by a year.
Yeah.
But yes, there were definitely some images, stories, things that Melanie was living with that she didn't really need in her life. So,
well, y'all would understand, too, being in radio, they played a 911 tape of a 7-year-old calling 911 about what her mom's boyfriend was doing to the baby. I can barely talk about it, but I listened to it in this content meeting with 14 people, prosecutors, police officers, ADAs, and I just broke down and started crying. And I built it into the show, and, you know, when you present a treatment, which is your creative draft of what you want to do, and I narrate it, and I cried when I came to that part, and then when we showed it, I cried when we came, and I can't even listen to it. It's so horrific, but it's important and meaningful, because now in North Carolina they investigate domestic violence as a murder, because eventually it will be.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, so that's good. That means that the victim, because many times the reason she doesn't prosecute, or the reason she press charges, or the reason she changes her mind, is because he is, usually it's men, is threatening her children, her family. You know, so we don't understand that. So it was neat to shed a little light on that, because that is one of the worst crimes a policeman can investigate, because someone's going to get hurt.
Right.
And a lot of times officers are.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah. And then usually around Thanksgiving, I do a lot of, I used to do a lot of gastroenterology newsletter writing. So always at Thanksgiving, we'd be at his parents' house, and his mother would invariably say, "So what are you working on?" I said, "Well, colonoscopy."
Polyps.
Did you know? Yeah. No, you don't want to. Everybody start laughing. Not during dinner.
Yeah. All right. So, were you, when you guys got together, were you? How long have you been together? You've got this career.
Yeah, you're working together on this project. Do you often work together on projects?
Well, there's a funny story there too. I mean, Melanie and I met 33 years ago, and I was working at a radio station at the time. I did 10 years in radio, you know.
You have the voice for it.
Hold the little numbers up.
We love radio.
And we enjoyed it, but the industry changed a little bit, and then I started working with pictures, you know, and so putting pictures with radio is basically what I do now. So
right.
You know, to be simplistic about it. But what was the question?
Well, we met. It's an old radio station, and I walked in and handed, because I used to work at the other one. This was during college, so it was before my senior year, and I handed in my application, and I turned and I looked, and Jeff was on the air, and he turned at the exact same moment. I know that sounds weird. And he had this long, curly hair and these beautiful eyes, and I looked at him, and I thought, gosh, he looks like Jesus, doesn't he? I mean, he does kind of with this. And he had long hair. And then my next thought was, I'm going to go out with him. He was was so cute.
Yeah. So
he was the program director.
We're sending out the wrong message. Radio is not the
not
place
like
to,
that. You know, yeah. But
but.
Well,
yeah.
In some cases,
that's where you
obviously
found Jesus.
Yes. 33
so,
yeah. years later,
so he interviewed
you guys.
Me.
Yeah. So we've known each other a really long time. And I guess I brought that up because when we first started working in radio together, that was fun. When we started working on creative projects together, not that radio wasn't creative, but we were working on some commercials for radio, for instance. And we would argue.
Oh, would you really? Yeah. I can't imagine the two of you arguing.
Oh,
you seem
please.
To...
He's a perfectionist. I am a perfectionist, too. I just recognize perfection 25 takes earlier than he does. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's a succinct way of putting
and then,
it.
You know, and finally, he gives up. I remember this one. He gives up, and he says, well, if that's the way you feel about it, yeah. Well, then we win an award for this commercial. Big award.
Statewide.
The Addy, you know, and he comes up, and of course, he's up there accepting the award, saying, yes, you know, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. 25 takes, and he wanted to go another 25. It was perfect. It was a very good script. So
there was a period of time in our early marriage where working together was probably not advised in order for parental or marital harmony to prevail. But maybe the last 15 or 20 years, yep. we've been able to, you know, tolerate each other's creative concept.
You seem to get along pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, we are out of time. Tell a website. Do you have a website address you want to say?
No, under construction at this point.
.com.
.com.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Underconstruction.com.
Thanks, you guys, so much
sure.
for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.